It's Community Church in Casa Grande for the reading of the message this morning. The message today that the Lord has been speaking to me is God's way. God's way. We have a lot of people that want it their way, but God's way is the best way. It is the only way that is right. So I want to just bring that message, and I'm just going to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is here to enlighten our minds and our hearts and to anoint me to bring this word to you today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are here with us, whether there are two or three gathered, we're here in your name. We are here to exonerate and to exalt you, not to exalt anyone, any individual, but you alone are worthy of all praise and power and glory. We thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you will just anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Suppose you were to hire a builder. My son is building a piece of property, or not the property, the building, on his property in Texas, and he was telling me about it when he was here. Lewis was telling me, and he's telling the person who drew the plans, no, I want to change, I want it this way or that way, and he's building that plan. He's telling him what he wants. Now, just suppose that builder said, well, I don't like it that way. I'd like to change it. But he's not the owner, and he's not the builder. He's building it, but he's not the one who's in charge. And he decides to make changes to the building according to his desires, and yet he still expects the payment that was supposed to be paid to him. It doesn't work well like that, does it? Now, this builder has not done that. I don't want you to think he has. But anyway, it reminds me of how we interact with God many times. He is the one who has created us. He's built us and made us our lives, and yet we think that we want it our way, not his way. I remember several years ago when I had little ones and I'd had a new baby born, and there were some ladies in the church that said, we're going to come and help you. You've got three or four other little ones, and we're going to help you. We're going to clean the house. And I said, thank you very much. That's really appreciated. I need that, you know, a little time to recuperate. And so they came to clean the house, and they rearranged the place, the dishes, the towels were, and they didn't fold the towels like I fold them. And I've even had somebody one time say, oh, who cares how they're folded, just if they're out of way, just fold them. Well, that wasn't my desire. That wasn't what I wanted. And then I remember that, I guess I could talk about my mother-in-law. She's in heaven now. But she came to my house one time. And she said, probably when there was a baby born. Anyway, she came. And she said, you know, I moved such and such to this other cabinet because it's inconvenient the way you've got it set up. I've rearranged your kitchen cabinet. Well, I wasn't very happy about that. And it's because this is my house. Do you know that you are God's house? You are his temple. And sometimes we want to do things different and create a different atmosphere or do things not according to God's design. And somebody might pout. I had a young lady that decided she was going to do something in my house, and actually she was going to put up a Christmas tree. And she said, I'll do it for you. And I didn't ask her to do it. She said, I'll do it. So when I came out, she had put the tree up, but she put the skirt underneath and then put the tree on top of the skirt, and the base was showing. And I said, well, really, I'd like to have that base covered. The skirt of the tree should go around above the base. She was highly offended. She said, I offered to fix this. I don't see what that matters. And she didn't fix it. Somebody else did. But we don't like to have things done a different way when it is our house, when it's something that we are having built and we want it to be like we want it to be. Well, Do you not know, the Bible says, that your body is the temple of God? He wants things arranged and done His way. Why should we be offended about that? Sometimes people are offended. They say, I don't need God to tell me what to do. This is my life. No, it is not your life. God has given you the opportunity to live your life in this body, but it is His temple, and He wants it done His way. He created us in His own image, and we belong to Him. We are His dwelling place. Some might say, I am my own God, and I have heard people say that. Perhaps you have. I'm my own God. I don't have a God. I am my own God. I'll do things my way, but God's way is the only acceptable way. The Bible tells us your body is a temple, a sacred dwelling place where the Holy Spirit wants to reside. This declaration originates from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where he reminds us, again in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. You are not in charge of your body. You're not your own. It is God's. And so I'm not my own boss. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't go my own way, but it's not God's way, and we'll meet with a lot of heartache. He said, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then he says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. What does he mean? If we violate those rules that God has given us, he's told us how to care for this temple. We destroy that temple. We destroy the very life that God has given us. We see it all the time. People do foolish things. They do not go by the word of God. Why did God say that a couple should be married and then have children? Because it's the security for the children. It is God's way, not man's way. So our bodies, as temples, sometimes people want to fix their bodies. I understand that. They get plastic surgery. And then I hear so much suicide by young people because they cannot accept their bodies. But you know what? Just as the first and second temples were well-constructed places of beauty and grandeur to be treated with respect and honor, today we, too, must treat ourselves in the same manner. Even though we are dust, and to dust we shall return, according to Genesis 3:19, we are beautifully and gloriously created by God, our Father. He created us beautifully and wonderfully. Unfortunately, we have a lot of kids that go on Facebook or on the media. I don't even know all the different, whatever it is. And somebody makes a comment or says, you're ugly, or you're funny about this or that. We have kids that commit suicide because they think they have to live up to a standard of what other people say they should be. But it's what God wants for your life. What does He say you should be? He tells us things He loves in His Word. Despite our earthly nature, dust to dust, we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. In Psalm 139, the 14th verse, Psalmist said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. And then in Psalm also, the psalmist wrote, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God cares very much about us. There are people in this world that may not care. You may think that they don't care about you, but God loves you. He cares. What are we? Who are we? We are His creation. He loves us. We are loved and precious to God. In John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, he said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might be saved. You are the apple of God's eye. You know, we know that we look at the Jewish at Israel. They are the apple of God's eye, but if you serve the Lord and you give him your life, he delights in you. He wants your life, and you are the apple of his eye. We should honor our bodies. Now, I'm not saying we worship them. I said honor them because God created them. And we have a lot of people say, well, self-love. I grew up in a home that my dad thought pride, you didn't brag or tell anybody they did something well because that was going to put pride in their hearts. But that isn't true. We need to acknowledge God has given us abilities. He's given us things, gifts that we can use for his glory. And we need to be thankful for that. We need to love what God has given to us, not become proud and exalted. It's all because of God. It's a gift from God. We love and appreciate what God has given us. We don't pick it apart. Some people pick their bodies apart and they want to change it. They want to change their nose or whatever. I think about, anyway, that's all right. I won't say it. I was thinking about my daughter coming home. And she says, this guy, every time he sees me walking down the hall in high school, he says, well, hello, nose. And she and she began to feel a complex about it. You know, what's with my nose, Mom? What's wrong with my nose? I said, nothing. She said, well, I don't understand why he does that. We take what people say instead of what God has created. He made us in his own image. I'm not supposed to look. How would you like it if you had a bouquet of flowers and everyone was exactly alike? Everyone the same color. Nothing was changed. God wants a garden of people that are different. There's not one that's the same. You ever thought about it? No fingerprints, no DNA. Nothing is like someone else. It's exactly who God created you. How wonderfully we were made. God loves us. And we should not pick it apart. Well, the interesting thing about that guy, I guess I have to tell you the rest of the story. After a few years passed and she was out of high school, he called the house. Where is Ramona? And now I'm getting really mad. Where is she? And I said, well, she's not here now. I think she was in Fresno. She's in college. She's gone. He said, well, I waited. He said, I wanted to accumulate a little bit of wealth but I really like her. I would like to marry her. Well, it's a little late. You called her nose all that time. And I guess he thought he was being smart. But anyway, his father owns a big Chevrolet dealership. But anyway, we get self-conscious about what somebody says about us, and we take it and carry it for a long time, and it weights us down. We need to put that apart, put that aside. And we are responsible. God wants us to take care of our physical bodies, of our health. Taking care of our bodies is actually an act of worship. It's obedience to God. He wants us to take care of our bodies. Nutrition, exercise, and rest. And I have to remind myself of this too. We need to take care of what God has created, what he's done, not have habits that destroy the body. And our bodies should be vessels for worship. Let every action, thought, and word honor God who dwells within us. We represent God because we are his dwelling place. We are his temple. In 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, Paul wrote, he said, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. What does he mean? You are responsible. You will give an account, literally, for the things you've done to destroy this body God gave to you. You suffer, and some people say, I don't understand why I have this certain thing that's gone, but he's been a smoker or a drinker or whatever for many, many years. it affects our bodies. And as children of God, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God dwells in us, and we belong to Him. Our language, everything should represent Him. And our spiritual health, we should avoid all kinds of temptations, and sexual impurity aligns with God's honor, with honoring God. Sexual purity is how we honor God in that respect, too. We have a lot of things going today. People say, well, no, I don't want to get married. I just want to live with somebody. But that's not God's way. God said, I want you to be committed to a mate. I created it that way. God is committed to us, and He is joined with us. And He said, I don't want you to live like that. And 1 Timothy says, the 4th chapter, Paul wrote, he said, while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. So spiritual godliness gives, we have life after this life. We have an assurance that we will live in eternity. What a wonderful life. That's the kind of health I want. I want to know that my life will be with Jesus when I leave this world. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you love him, you're going to keep his word. You're going to obey his commandments. Does that mean you never falter? You never make a mistake? No, it does not. He said, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. It's not that you have to be a perfect person. You're not perfect. Jesus didn't come for those who are perfect. He came for the sinner. And we make mistakes. We don't always. But he says, he will. He wills to keep my word. He wants to do what is right. In Ephesians, Paul wrote, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Everything fitting together, we are balanced in our body and our lives. And it says, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. He wants to live within us. He wants everything that we do and say and be to be a reflection of what Jesus is like. I think about so many people who call themselves Christians, but when they are out in the world and they're in the workforce or wherever they are, their lives do not reflect that Christian virtue, that character of Jesus. We may say, oh, Jesus loves you. You need to give your life to Jesus. And then the next thing, you're using language that is inappropriate and is cursing God. It cannot be so. Our bodies are the temple of God. And so in Colossians, Paul tells us, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, put it to death. Is it painful to kill it? Yes, probably is. Yes, it's painful. Some things more than others. But Paul says that's what we are to do because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we don't want anything that would not reflect the glory and the purity and the godliness of Christ to be reflected in our lives. In Romans, the 6th chapter, Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it be king. Don't let it be in charge to make you obey its passions. We have a control. We must say, I will not permit this. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, he said, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, or idolaters. Well, we don't talk too much about this. In the churches, we kind of shy away. We don't want to be judgmental, but God is very clear. He said, these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God if you let this take hold of your life. And he said, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, or those who practice homosexuality. It's very clear in the Word of God. He says he wants us to represent him. And God cannot dwell in a vessel that is filthy. And are there people who are tempted and have sinned? Yes, but you can repent and you can change that. You can say, I want my life to glorify God. I want the righteousness of Christ in me. Remember, your body is not merely a temple. It is God's temple. Treat it with reverence and gratitude because it is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you need a little more sleep, I tell myself, well, I'm taking care of this temple. Not really. I don't sleep as long as I should, but anyway, a lot of times. But you take care of your body. This temple belongs to God. And before Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'm going to send you. The disciples were quite concerned because they had depended on Jesus. They were following him everywhere. Their needs were supplied. They saw miracles happen, and it was wonderful. The presence of Jesus was there. And then when Jesus went to the cross, their whole lives were just, what in the world happened? Can you imagine? Everything we had hoped for has fallen apart. We come to places in our lives sometimes where we feel like everything has fallen apart. What do I do now? How is it that I go on? Jesus said, I'll tell you how you go on. When they said, we can't go on, don't leave us. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you someone that will be with you, not only with you like I have been, but he's going to dwell inside of you if you allow it. How much better can it be than to everywhere I go, he's there with me if I allow it. And that's what happens if we allow God to be the Holy Spirit to dwell in our temple. If you are watching today and you say, well, I have not really had the Holy Spirit, I've not let Jesus come into my life, I encourage you. The Bible says, and this is the day to do it. In 2 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 2, God says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. He said, an acceptable time, God says, I've heard you. And he says, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now, he says, is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Many times we put it off and we say later, but it says very clearly, an accepted time, God has made it right now. When you hear the word of God, when you recognize that Jesus wants to live in you, his Holy Spirit wants to abide in you, and he wants to control what you do, you have to give him, you need to give him your life. And he says in Revelation, the third chapter, Jesus, John the Baptist, John the Revelator wrote, he said, behold, I stand at the door. God says, the Holy Spirit stands and I knock. If any person will open the door, I will come in and will fellowship with him. We need the presence of God in our lives. If we think we can do it our way and we can make rules that conform to what we want in our lives, we are sadly mistaken. God will not prosper that. He will not bless it, and we will destroy the very life that God has given us by things that we can do. Even if it's bitterness, unforgiveness, all the things that God says, lay it aside. We want his Holy Spirit to live in us. So today, if you're watching and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you to do that. If you're here in the congregation, Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life. You are his temple. He wants to live within you. The Holy Spirit, he says he's left. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you, and he will teach you, and he'll lead you into truth. And that's what you need, is the Holy Spirit. I pray, O God, as I pray today that you'll agree with me as I pray. Holy Spirit, we want you to live within us. I pray that you will just cleanse us from everything that is against your purpose and your will, against your word. I ask you, O Lord, to let us give our temple unto you. Let us not try to make up rules for ourselves and say, I'm okay because there's somebody else that's not as good as I am. Oh God, you are the one that is precious, and you are the one that is perfect, and you gave your life for us that we might be made perfect in you. Let these temples be filled with your Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, I pray that you will do that before the day is over. If you did not do that as we prayed, because Jesus wants to live in you and with you, always abiding with you. He'll help you in every situation if you'll just make him Lord of your life. May you have a blessed week. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. They're clapping because it's short. Okay. No, it's wonderful whenever we know that we belong to the Lord. Amen. I don't care what anybody says about me, or you don't care what anybody says about you. I belong to Jesus. Yes. I'm the apple of his eye, and so are you. He created us in his own image. We might think we'd like to change some things, but he made us like he wants. I'm not saying you don't have to clean up. That's okay. But anyway, aren't you thankful? Is there...